Don't call it a comeback. We've been here for years. The Triple M Queensland Huddle is back for season 2024. Liam Flanagan here, joined, as I will be every single week, by the one and only Brett Thomas. Brett, how good is it that footy is back?
And it's in Queensland as well, and in New South Wales. I know in Victoria they're a bit like, oh, this doesn't feel the same. But we love it up here because both the Suns and the Lions will put up the full house sign this weekend. So it's a great thing for, you know, the northern states.
Well, mate, it's been something of a funny off-season filled with disappointment and hope in Queensland football, because the Lions were there. They were there. They got to that final game, first time under Fags, getting to the grand final, and they, you could probably say they got beaten by the better team, right? The Collingwood, you can't deny them as being the best team in the league last year. And Brisbane were the second best, and that's how it finished up. And then on the other side of the coin, the Suns' sort of season dwindled out, but it's been an off-season of hope and a pre-season of excitement, because Damien Hardwick has turned up and breathed new life into the joint.
He has. And you know, I mean, I sat through a briefing last week, and they talked about their strategic plan, and they want to win premierships, and it's not something they've said before. They've never had a Brendan Gale, you know, by this year we're going to have that amount of members and win this amount of premierships. But now, with, you know, Damien Hardwick on board, they're very confident about the direction they're going. How quickly they can get there, that's the tough question to ask. I mean, they've never won more than 10 games in a season. They've never finished higher than 12th. They have a new coach. They have a new game plan. He's changing a lot of players around, which we'll get to. So, you know, they beat Richmond in round one. I think there's going to be a lot of optimism about what they can do this year. But I just have a little bit of a worry that they might be hyping things up a little bit too much.
Oh, okay. Hey, mate, how's your off-season been? How's your pre-season been? Are you rolling into round one ripe, cherry ripe? We're going to be calling the Dimmer Derby, Suns Richmond. Are you cherry ripe?
I'm just so excited. I mean, we have called, you know, the Suns for the past, like you and I together, the past 3 or 4 years. And we have said to you and Joel's our boss, we are chaining ourselves to the desk when Gold Coast finally make the finals. You're not sending the team up from Melbourne. We are calling their first ever final. We hope it is this year. But yeah,
no need for hope. Exactly. You and I have chained ourselves to burly heads. We are the team when the Suns finally get this berth. We're ready to roll. But mate, what we're going to do today, because it's our first one back, but we don't want to drag on and get caught up in the minutiae. What we're going to do is a little season preview with some different categories for both teams. Then we're going to rip into a game preview proper for both of these sides. Let's start with the Gold Coast Suns, because that has been the big story of the offseason. They finished 15th last year, 9 wins, 14 losses. Stewie Jew obviously moved on, and then it was this conversation and the will he or won't he about Damien Hardwick. He has arrived. Let's start there, and I think we probably both got the same answer to this first category of what's changed from last season?
Everything, full stop. Just about everything. We've got a new coach coming in, and he's changing a lot of roles around. I mean, Alex Sexton is, you know, the big one going back at 30 years of age. You know, a new role for a player that was really out of favour under Stewart Jew. I think he'd only played, you know, a handful of games over the past few years, and, you know, just didn't fit into the new forward structure. And
former leading goal kicker of the club.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm. And you know, they're going to have to take the bad with the good early on with him. In the preseason game against the Lions, there was a few turnovers early, but you could see what he could do. You know, he's got beautiful skills by foot, especially. So, will they stick fat with that? If in, you know, the first quarter against the Tigers, or if he just has a bad game against Richmond, they've also got Joel Jeffrey, who's, you know, been playing in the B side, or in that game against the Lions in the fifth and sixth quarter, he was running out with the VFL guys, and he looked pretty slick as well. So they've got options, but yeah, I mean, and too many small defenders have now become small forwards. Like Ben Long's gone forward, Cheetus is up there. McPherson was a small defender last year. Now he's a small forward. Plus, you've still got Nick Holman. So, and Melly Rosa seems to be a bit on the outer, where I think he's got so much spark and so much talent that I'm just a little bit worried about where all their goals are going to come from, and also how they're going to defend scores. Because, and I know it was just the preseason and Toby Green is a superstar, but I thought there was just some worrying signs there when Butterick's coming off 2 ACLs, Bodie Ullin's still a young player, you know, Weller's coming off his second ACL, Will Power we love, I do think that defence will be the biggest area of concern for this, you know, especially the early part of the year.
I mean, the big change is, and I think Damien Hardwick and everyone I've spoken to involved with the Suns and some players and all the rest of it is talks about the way he's training them and that it's short and sharp and everything's with a purpose. There's not a lot of wasted minutes on the track in the preseason, but stylistically, I'm expecting in this round one Dimmer Derby, I'm expecting to see Richmond of old. I'm expecting to see a bit of a style change for this Gold Coast Suns outfit that uses the pace and the move forward football that we're used to seeing of Richmond when they went on that premiership dynasty that they enjoyed. That's what's changed. What stayed the same? Importantly for the Suns, what do you think stayed the same heading into 2024?
Well, I guess it's their, you know, on-field leaders, Jared Witts and Tuke Miller. And, I mean, Miller's another one who, even last year, late last year under Stephen King, was playing a bit of, you know, half forward because they want to get Flanders in there. They want to see what he can deliver. And, I mean, he was incredible, you know, the back end of last year and get some more bodies there. So, you know, it could be a slight change of role for Tuke Miller. And Jared Witts, we know he's the heart and soul of that team. Mm. So that is what has stayed the same. And he's going to need strong on-field leaders on every line, you know, to implement a game plan that worked really well at Richmond. You know, the faster-flowing attacking style worked well for them. They had Nick Vlosten, they had Grimes, they had Asprey, they had Hooley.
Yeah, it was a resolute defence.
A really resolute defence. And that's what you need with an attacking game plan, is you need a solid back six. So that's just what I'll be watching, you know, the most closely in this round one game.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's the midfield that stayed the same. Importantly for Dimmer when they roll out this season, Noah Anderson, Rao, Miller, and Jared Witts, and Bailey Humphrey is the other one I expect to see spend more time on the ball this year because of what he's already demonstrated early on in his young career. We love him. All right, 2024 will be the year of who at the Gold Coast Suns?
I'm hoping it's the year of Ben King. I think both.
I tell you what, Brett, we're in sync. I like this.
Look, I mean, it's kind of an obvious one, but I think the King brothers hold the key to two teams. If they, first of all, can stay injury-free and fit and kick 60 to 70 goals, they can be the difference between a team making and not making the finals. And, you know, he found a partner in crime in Jack Lekosius last year, had a breakout season, and we just hope we can see, you know, the best of Ben King. Still a young man. What's he, 22 or 23?
23.
That, you know, he's got an enormous scope as to, you know, what he can do in his footy career.
Well, you look, I mean, and to dwell on it for a moment, because it's exactly what I had. He's 23 years of age. This is going to be his sixth season in the league, right? He comes in 2019 as a first year and kicks 17 goals. What did he play in that first year? He played 14 games, kicked 17 goals. Next year, he builds, plays 17 games, kicks 25 goals. Third season, 2021, he plays 22 games and he kicks 47 goals, right? And everything, the trajectory for this kid is just year on year improvement. Then we get the knee injury and we miss him for all of 2022. That was just before the season started. I think you were there the day it happened, weren't you?
Yeah, it was. I go down like, a couple of times during the preseason, just to see how they're tracking, I'm standing next to Mitch Crone, who's the Channel 7 reporter for on the Gold Coast, or he was back then. And then Ben King goes down, you know, with a knee injury. It was just, it was, you know, for Stuart Dew especially, it was a sliding doors moment.
So he loses all of 2022. Then he comes back last season. He manages 20 games. And We talked about it while covering the games, Brett. He never looked right. He never looked in rhythm. Not physically. He just didn't quite have the rhythm of the game, right? And he still kicked 40 goals. I am so bullish on his output this year. I think you lock it in for his first 50 plus goal season, absolutely. And I think you're talking about a bloke who can kick 60 plus goals this year for the Gold Coast Suns. I'm really bullish, injury free, of course, but I'm so excited about seeing Ben King, the 23-year-old, in full flight this year. I cannot wait for it. Who are the teams you think they absolutely must beat this season? As in, give me a ladder prediction place for them and the teams that they need to make sure they get wins over to essentially take 4 points away from their closest rivals.
Well, let's start with the Tigers in round one. I mean, they, like I said, there's just a bit of a worry that they've overhyped, you know, not just round one, but what they can achieve. You know, this year, and how will they be judged if they don't start the season so well? They've got some issues in attack, the Tigers. This is probably, you know, the team that they should match up well against, their defence against, you know, the Tigers forward line. So let's start with them, and then I guess Flanners, it's, you know, the teams that were around them on the ladder from last year.
Well, you know, it's the honestly, you're spot on. It's the opening three rounds. They have two home games against the teams that I think are going to be challenging for that last spot in the eight, along with the Gold Coast Suns, in Richmond, Adelaide, and the Western Bulldogs. They're teams that, if you look at the ladder, you can probably, if we're honest about it and unbiased about it, Collingwood get back there, Brisbane get back there, Melbourne get back there, GWS, Sydney, Carlton probably all get back there, and Port, right? Yep. That's seven teams. Suddenly, Adelaide, St Kilda, the Bulldogs, Richmond, Gold Coast, Essendon, if they're all fighting for that last spot in the eight. And for the Suns to be able to open their campaign against three of those teams, I just see it as Dimmer needs this team fired out of a cannon to start the year.
Yeah, and they've got how many? They've got quite a few home games in that stretch earlier in the season, yep, as well. So they have to make the most of that. I mean, a sellout in round one against the Tigers. Mm-hmm. They spoke at their season briefing about the bottom line, and obviously they're solely funded by the AFL. They need to start attracting more fans through the gates, and you know, success obviously comes with that, to get fans there and to keep them there. And if they can average over 20,000, that's going to be huge, absolutely huge. So the start to the season is, I mean, we say this every year, but it's crucial.
Four of their first five games to start the season are at home. Suns fans, make some noise and get there. Last question I want to ask you, BT, before we move on to the Lions. The rest of the... Finish this sentence for me. In 2024, the rest of the footy world will finally appreciate...
We appreciate Nick Holman. But, I mean, with Ben Long and McPherson Cheetahs going up there, I kind of wonder where Damien Hardwick feels that Nick Holman fits. So, and he's, you know, he's a role player. I think they will finally appreciate Matt Rowell.
Or re-appreciate Matt Rowell, if you will. Because remember, everyone appreciated him when he started his career the way he did, and then the injuries came. So I like that answer. They'll finally re-appreciate. You can pivot. You got right. A re-appreciation. I like it.
And he's been working with a sprint coach over summer as well. We've always talked about that. You know, he likes to be under the ruckman's nose and get first possession, first handball. He's been working on that breakaway speed, not just coughing or giving the ball up straight away, but breakaway, then dispose of the footy and get some chains going out of the middle.
I'll give you mine. In 2024, the rest of the footy world will finally appreciate Will Powell.
Yep.
This is a young man who, if you follow the Suns at all, you know how talented this kid is. But remember when nobody outside of Greater Western Sydney really appreciated Nick Haynes?
Yep.
And more recently in Queensland, no one really appreciated Charlie Ballard. Harris Andrews I even think suffered from this a little bit.
Yep.
Now he is who he is. I think last year Charlie Ballard got the recognition he deserved. And I think this season, providing again, like Ben King, he stays injury free, I think you will see teams start to talk about, or opposition teams start to go, any chance we could get Will Powell? Any chance that, you know, Will Powell might be interested in a move back home? You watch the Eagles or Fremantle or someone start to ask the questions, because this kid is so good at football.
Yeah, tough, skillful. Yeah,
and he's also a great person too. I mean, you've spent a bit of time with him. He's the sort of guy you want around your club. So yep. I love him. All right, final. Give me a prediction for the Suns. Where do they finish?
Do you know what? Let's be optimistic. I'm going to go, this will be the first season that they crack the ace. I think they'll roll Richmond in round one, and I'm going to tip them to finish seventh this year.
Finals, baby. I had them at seventh. I think they'll do better than just scraping in. I think they finish seventh, and we are talking about the Gold Coast Suns in their first ever finals.
Love it.
Let's move along to the runners-up of 2023. The Brisbane Lions, they finished second on the ladder at the end of the regular season, and they lost in the grand final to the team that finished above them. 17 wins, 6 losses. It was their best ever year under Chris Fagan, getting to the grand final. And now here we are. I guess the big question is, Can they go one better this year? This will be the 8th year in charge for Chris Fagan. He's contracted until the end of next season already. He signed that extension last year. He's already the second longest serving coach at the club behind the legend that is Lee Matthews. Brett, can they go better?
They have to. I mean, that's the brutal reality of professional sport. I mean, look at the Broncos. You know, they made the grand final last year. They had equally as heartbreaking a loss to the Panthers, but they had other teams that they kind of skipped past, like the Eels and the Roosters, who had down years. You know, for the Lions, it's the same. I mean, you had a team like the Western Bulldogs who didn't even make the eight last year. So there's going to be some changes on probably the fringes. I mean, they have a very settled 22, you know, especially starting 18. We mentioned Darcy Gardner already. There's some other little things, you know, like Henry Smith has been given a crack in their preseason games. And, you know, Will Ashcroft will come back, and they got Tom Duday as well. So, you know, there's just those little things that they'll want to change. Chris Fagan thought that their decision-making could have been better in the grand final. I mean, he decided to address the loss and bring them all in the next week. And they've been working on smaller-sided drills rather than holding off their full 18-on-18 match sim. So, like the Western Bulldogs used to do, you know, fast hands, flip the ball around, and the Magpies did in the grand final last year. So that's, you know, one of the things that he wanted to work on in, over the summer.
Stats also, I mean, I don't love stats from a commentary perspective, and I don't love deep conversations about statistics, mainly because I'm not smart enough to follow along with the conversation. But the stats, when you look at them from a list perspective, do tell a story about this Lions side. They're a mature side that's ready. They're the equal fourth oldest. They're the fourth most experienced. They've got 18 players with 100 or more games, and they've got 27 players with finals experience. Essentially, they are cherry ripe to win the comp. The window is not a window. It's an open top bus. This thing, they're ready to go. They showed that last year. Now it's just a question of if they get the luck. There's always luck needed in a premiership campaign. If they can get the luck, can they get back there and give themselves a shot at redemption? Let's go through those same categories for this Lions side that we did with the Sun. What's changed for them heading into 2024?
Well, Darcy Gardner's won. You know, they with Tom Duday coming in, and Ryan Lester's obviously still there, and he was one of the great stories of last year. He's gone back to that three tall forward structure, at least he has in the preseason. I asked Lachie Neal on the weekend how he's has viewed that change, and he said, well, you know, we're not sure if it will happen in round one as yet. So, but they don't need him to kick six goals and win a game. They've got Danaher and Hipwood for that. And let's be clear, this isn't a position on the ground that is the most crucial for them, but I think he sees Gardner being able to play the McStay role better than Jack Gunston did, where he's a bullocker, he can take out, he can be a defensive forward, he can make sure Alirelia isn't, you know, jumping in and taking intercept marks. He's a tough player, and, you know, he can be the guy that leads up the ground, so when defenders are running out, you know, eyes up footy, they've got someone to kick to, running hard to the logo. So that's been, you know, one of the changes over the preseason. And then, you know, Kai Lohman, Harry Sharp, Connor McKenna's under an injury cloud. Will James Madden get a crack? So they have so many fringe players that, and this has been the amazing thing, they've been able to keep re-signing guys like Lohman and Dev Robertson that other teams you'd think, you know, might have picked off by now. But they have a hungry list, and they have a lot of guys hoping to get into that that top 22. So you can't see them at all going backwards this year.
No, the other thing I think potentially changes is Collingwood. And because I think that, again, should go into the season favourites, will go into the season favourites. What's changed is you're now dealing with a Collingwood side that might not have the hunger or the same level of hunger, because it takes a special side to be able to defend a premiership. We don't see it often because it's really hard to do. And I wonder, and this is a hypothetical change, it's not an actual, we can't prove it, but I wonder whether Father Time starts to catch up with Scott Pendlebury, and whether, you know, Bobby Hill is as desperate year two on impressing with the side, and whether Steel Sidebottom and Father Time starts to catch up with him a little bit. I think if we're trying to find reasons why the Lions can go one better, I think you almost need to not invent, but hypothesize about what could go wrong with their main contender in Collingwood.
Yeah, I mean, look, let's look at Collingwood in 2010. I mean, they were a Tom Hawkins quarter away from winning back-to-back, so they got to another grand final. But after that, it took them, you know, till 2018 to... They won the flag with one of the youngest lists at that time. They couldn't. It's so hard to back up. I mean, that's the key point. Look at the Western Bulldogs. Look at the Hawks of 2008. Yeah, it took them 4 years to get back, and then they lost an epic grand final to the Swans. So winning back-to-back is incredibly difficult. You know, I mean, we've had the Lions, the Hawks, the Tiger dynasties, like three close dynasties together. I think part of what fed into that was we had free agency coming in, made the draft system less equal. But you're right. I mean, it's Collingwood drops off only 5%, and then other teams jump above them. Yeah. So,
What stayed the same for the Lions? And I think we could probably answer this at the same time. Is everything? There hasn't been much change, and as a result, it's as you talked about. It's just a case of maybe tweaking things with a Darcy Gardner, figuring out how Will Ashcroft gets reintegrated into this side, and what stayed the same. If you're a professional athlete, you want consistency in your routine and your schedule, and I think they get that heading into this season.
Yeah, absolutely. What's changed for the Suns? Everything. What stayed the same for the Lions? Basically everything.
Yeah. 2024 will be the year of. Now, this is a tough question for a group who's got the reigning Brownlow medalist in Lachie Neale here. Who do you see 2024 being the year of for Brisbane?
I'll go for Hugh McCluggage. It's a contract year for Hugh, and he's making all the noises.
This is Ep 1 back, and we are already Justin Timberlake in sync, Brett, because that is the name right here in front of me on my paper.
And you know what? We don't talk.
This is the first time we
do the podcast, but you can have the same answer. You don't have to have different answers.
Brett, this is the first time we've spoken since last season.
Exactly. So, to me, he's $1 million a year midfielder, and they, you know, I mean, he's got his great mate Jared Berry. They're both coming through the Rebels Ballarat region in, you know, Victoria in the under-18s. He's making all the right noises that he wants to re-sign, but other clubs can offer more than what the Lions can. But they've got a core list here who were so close as you can get to winning the flag against the Pies last year. So he's only 26, I think, and he was dynamic. He was brilliant in that grand final. So I think that he has still got scope. Rayner, Bailey, Hipwood, they're all in their mid-20s.
Just turned 26 the other day. 3rd of March is Huey's birthday. And I'm with you, mate. I've got him down. This is a bloke who he's been an All-Australian nominee twice. He's been 3rd in the club BNF twice. I think he wins. I think he gets an All-Australian jacket this year, and I think he wins the BNF. I think he's right. He's in his prime. And the professionalism, I think, if he goes to that next level, the Lions, that's where the Lions' improvement can come. The teams they simply must beat. Who are the teams that you think that they need to defeat this season to really make a point?
Well, it's the chasing pack, I guess. They've got the Blues in round one. Sam Walsh is out. You know, I mean, again, the Carlton comes into the season with the same question mark over their rucks. Does Pitnett play, or do they go with De Koning, who, you know, is still maturing and looks really good when he is the number one ruckman? Pitnett did not have a great prelim final against the Lions last year. So it starts from there, and then we've got, you know, the grand final rematch on Easter Thursday.
I'll tell you what, they need to beat the teams at the MCG in the regular season, and they need to beat whoever's there on grand final day. They only travel to the MCG twice this year. Round five is Melbourne, and round 23 against Collingwood. And if they can send a message to all the journos and to the rest of the comp that, we win at the MCG, and then they only got to worry about beating whoever rolls up there on grand final day.
Yeah, I mean, look, they've beaten Melbourne in a final there. They got so close to beating the Pies. I think that's just a narrative that, you know, we can put to bed for sure.
Who is the rest of the footy world finally going to appreciate from the Brisbane Lions in 2024? Tricky question, because there's not a lot of underappreciated players in their best 22.
Maybe it's Dane Zorko.
Great answer.
Because, you know, it was a little up in the air after the grand final. I don't think he had been re-signed as yet. He is a guy who plays with a bit of a chip on his shoulder as well. And
There's a little bit of shoulder on his chip.
There's a bit of salt and vinegar on one and on the other shoulder. So I'm going to go with Dane Zorko. I think he he talked about he wants to be like a Tom Brady and keep going. So they've got so many. The thing is about Kyle Lohman, they've talked about him a lot over the preseason, but who is he forcing out of that team? You've got half forwards of, you know, McCarthy, Cameron, Rayner, although he's, you know, spending more and more time in the midfield, then the three talls. Zorko playing half forward as well. So where does Lohman kind of fit in? And obviously Dane's going to know that, and he will, you know, want to get off to a cracking start to make sure that he's undroppable.
I really like that answer. I really like that answer. My answer is a little bit of a cheat, because I think in the final series and on grand final day, the rest of the world, rest of the footy world kind of woke up to this bloke.
Yep.
In Kitty Coleman.
Yeah.
Now, the love that existed for Kitty and Coleman for Brisbane fans has been there probably for, like, the real love and the real appreciation for his talent was probably there all last season and a little bit of 2022. And then the rest of the footy world after the finals performance that he put in kind of went, whoa. Now I think he'll start the season with people knowing who he is. And as a result, if he can continue with the prodigious talent that he has, you like another one that could be wearing an All-Australian jacket come end of season.
Yeah, I mean, again, a brilliant finals campaign, so silky. And the fact they've got Wilmot and McKenna there, unfortunately for Daniel Rich, that meant that his, you know, retirement was probably fast-tracked last year. They just had so much talent, so much skill off half-back that he was, you know, kind of ushered to the side, or what, you know, Chris Fagan told us last year was he made the decision to drop himself. So,
and I think that's going to be really important with, you mentioned Darcy Wilmot and Tom Duday coming to the club as well when he's ready to go. It's almost, I don't want to say he's Luke Hodge-esque, but if there's an opportunity for a player to be loose, you want it to be Kadeen Coleman. It's almost like how Jared McVay for the Swans in years gone by used to be the designated quarterback. And where there was an opportunity to create an outnumber, they wanted Jared McVay to be the loose. And Hawthorn wanted Luke Hodge to be the loose. Mm-hmm. And they would coordinate their defense so that it worked out that way. It's really important that with Tom Duday coming in and Darcy Wilmot being the youngster who doesn't mind a dash forward himself, you're prioritizing Kitty Coleman as the guy that can be the loose, because he is so devastating and damaging by foot that if you just hate to see him, through lack of organisation, forced into being a hard lockdown defender deep in a pocket. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Who knows later, and or if he develops the tank, he could maybe push up to a wing eventually. Mm. I mean, they've just got so much depth. Yep. On their wings and half back, so yeah, big year for him.
All right, final, give me a prediction for the Lions for the season total.
Well, it's got to be right to the top. It's got to be a premiership. We've spoken about it, how much scope so many of their players have got to go to another level again this year, so the flag for the Lions this year.
I love it. Right, quickly on round one, the Lions kick off their season with a prelim final rematch at the Gabba as part of opening round. They take on Carlton. Carlton coming to town, having had their season ended at this venue last year, give me a prediction for the game.
Lions are unbeatable at the Gabba. No Sam Walsh. Zach Williams, there's a question mark as to whether he'll be back. I reckon Lions by... it'll be close for a half. It's only close for a half. Then they have a, you know, devastating spell in the third quarter, and then it blows out from, you know, like 20 points to 40 points. So yeah. I'll go for a 7-goal win.
And you remember they started last season with that real shock loss to Port Adelaide, and it was a humbling loss for the Lions. I think they come out and send a message, I'm with you, I think it's a 7-goal-plus win. The Dimmer Derby, you and I are calling this one for Triple M. Saturday afternoon, 4:20 start local time. Give me your thoughts. What are you thinking?
Well, let's go for a close one. And remember Carmichael Hunt kicked a goal to beat the Tigers when Dimmer was coach, back when they were very Richmondy, at their Richmondy height in Cairns. So I'll say his new favourite son, Bailey Humphrey, to kick the winning goal and win by 5 points.
Well, yeah, and I go back to the Noah Anderson match-winning goal against Richmond at this very ground. This is a really nice rivalry that's just had a big old cherry of Damien Hardwick plonked on top of it. So I love it. And I'm going with the narrative. I'm going with the story of, Dimmer getting one up on his old team, 6 months after being you know, exhausted from footy and needing a break, and here he is in charge of the Suns. And I think that, as we talked about, the first three games of their season are against teams that they need to beat, and I think they will. So I'm tipping the Suns. Narrow margin, I'd say, you know, between 12 and 20 points in this one. So,
yep, I like it. I like it, Flanners.
Hey, Bretto, we are back on the horse.
It is good to be back.
Back talking footy for 2024. You and I calling the Dimmer Derby this weekend. Suns taking on the Tigers. We will be back next week, breaking it all down, hopefully celebrating two Queensland wins in the world of AFL, mate. We'll see you this weekend.
On you, Flanners.